from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, November 2nd. Coming up, pregnant immigrants in some states are barred from public assistance if they've been in the U.S. less than 5 years. That leaves them with few options for affordable prenatal care. We'll have more in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. A long legal battle between inmates and Illinois Department of Corrections over mental health care has taken another turn. Eric Stock reports.
Months after a federal judge struck down a settlement agreement to improve deficiencies in treatment and counseling for mentally ill inmates, a new court filing claims black inmates in Illinois are far more likely to be segregated and are less likely to receive counseling. The lawsuit alleges state prisons are understaffed to provide adequate care and that symptoms of mental illness are met with punishment, including restrictive housing and use of force. The state has said it has had trouble hiring staff to fill mental health roles. I'm Eric Stock.
Carle Health in Urbana will take over management of several hospitals in central Illinois from Unity Point Health. Unity Point Health signed an agreement to transfer management of Proctor and Methodist hospitals in Peoria, as well as Pekin Hospital. The agreement also makes Carle the parent organization of Unity Place, Methodist College, and affiliated clinics. Dr. James Leonard is president and CEO of Carle Health. He says those hospitals' local leadership won't change.
We are substituting in Carle Health for Unity Point Health at the system level, but otherwise things will stay intact.
The deal is anticipated to close by April 1st of next year, pending regulatory approval. Until then, current services and programs will remain unchanged for patients. The Village of Savoy voted unanimously last night to recommend the Champaign Unit 4 School District reinstate neighborhood schools. As Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes reports, this reflects calls from many Savoy parents.
About one-third of students at Cary Busey Elementary in Savoy are low-income. That's one of the lowest percentages in the district and would decrease further if only students from the neighborhood attended the school. Joel Franzen is the father of three Cary Busey students. He likes that his children can walk to school and doesn't know what the value of integrating students from different income levels might be.
I honestly don't know what the value of socioeconomic diversity is unless those values specifically affect, like, education. Probably don't care from a school perspective.
The Champaign Unit 4 Board of Education is currently debating how to further desegregate schools. The board was originally scheduled to vote on new school assignments in December, but may delay that timeline. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
Local interpreter Mateo Sebastian has been awarded the Immigrant Leadership Award by the City of Champaign. One of Sebastian's colleagues, Corinta Maldonado, nominated him for the honor. Maldonado is a professor of anthropology and American Indian Studies at the University of Illinois. She says the nomination is important recognition for someone working behind the scenes for Conhabal speakers.
I think it was kind of time to have somebody from the community at the forefront representing the community.
Maldonado says Sebastian is an important part of the community of Mayan language interpreters in the CU area. Still to come, a look at how pregnant immigrants in some states struggle to find prenatal care. That story from Side Effects Public Media is coming up next on 217 Today.
Hi, it's Jeremy Hobson. My new live national call-in show, The Middle, aims to bring voices from the middle of the country into the national conversation. Next time, we'll be asking you to tell us what is an issue where you disagree with the political party that you affiliate with. You can call us at 844-4MIDDLE or reach us at listentothemiddle.com. And I hope you'll join us next time on The Middle.
Wednesday night at 8 on AM 580 and FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Federal law bars many immigrants on visas and green cards from getting Medicaid for their first 5 years in the country. States can choose to opt people out of this waiting period when they're pregnant, but many Midwestern states have not done this. Side Effects Public Media's Natalie Krebs reports this leaves many immigrants with few, if any, options for affordable prenatal care.
Earlier this year, two pregnant women who recently arrived from Myanmar showed up at Abigail Sui's house in Des Moines, Iowa. They needed help finding prenatal care. Sui works for Embark, an Iowa-based nonprofit that supports immigrants. She figured she could help these women navigate the healthcare system.
Because I have been working with Embark for 8 years, I thought, oh, maybe I can advocate. I thought my voice will be heard by people, but not in reality, it's not at all.
Even though the women had visas and were low income, they weren't eligible for Medicaid solely due to their immigration status. And without Medicaid, the women had few options. They couldn't get immediate health coverage from their husbands' employers. And the Affordable Care Act marketplace plans, even with subsidies, were still too expensive. Swee says while trying to figure out the system, one woman didn't receive any prenatal care during her first and second trimesters. When she finally went in, she faced a steep medical bill.
So she's already 8 months, but then she still has to pay for her first, I think around $1,000, and then she just pay it.
To understand this very confusing situation, let's go back to 1996, when Congress passed the so-called Welfare Reform Act. It included a provision that barred many visa and green card holding immigrants from getting public assistance for their first 5 years in the country, or until they got citizenship.
Really, the only rationale that I've seen for it was to try to generate some savings.
That's Kelly Whitener, a professor of public policy at Georgetown University. She says the feds tweaked that policy just over a decade ago to allow states to exempt immigrants from this waiting period to get Medicaid during pregnancy. 24 states have adopted this exception. Others cover this group under state programs. But some don't offer affected immigrants any kind of relief from this ban. Whitener says this has just made the system even more confusing and inequitable for pregnant immigrants.
They're missing out on health care, which means missing out on visits, also means exposing families to really high medical bills and, you know, financial insecurity.
Among the states where pregnant immigrants still have to adhere to this waiting period are Missouri, Indiana, and Iowa, where doctors like Elka Walter try to provide them with the best prenatal care possible. She volunteers at the free medical clinic in Iowa City.
So we do have a small fetal monitor. So if we have some high-risk patients who do need extra monitoring, we have the ability to monitor their strip for, say, 20 minutes, 40 minutes.
Walter says they've come up with a way to operate within the state's current Medicaid system, and it's a complicated patchwork. The free clinic will see patients until they're about 20 weeks pregnant. Then they'll help them apply for Medicaid, which automatically gives them 60 days of, quote, presumptive coverage before their applications are ultimately denied. Walter says they can use this window to get care at larger, more well-equipped clinics.
And then try and get as much of their important prenatal care done, lab tests, blood type and screen, their growth and anatomy ultrasound if they need any consults with any specialists.
Then they come back to the free clinic for the rest of their pregnancy care. This approach worked for Ruth Mungabu. She immigrated from the Democratic Republic of the Congo on a diversity visa and gave birth to two of her children in Iowa.
Les soins médicaux, c'est très bien.
The medical care, it's very good, she says in her native French. However, both of Mungabu's pregnancies were uncomplicated. Walter, the doctor at the free clinic, says it's even more challenging for patients with high-risk pregnancies that need additional care, like expensive tests or ultrasounds on equipment the clinic doesn't have. She says they monitor and care for these patients the best they can with the resources they have. Natalie Krebs, Side Effects Public Media.
Side Effects Public Media is a regional reporting collaboration focused on public health. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be mostly sunny today with a high of 72 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Eric Stock, Tim Shelley, Emily Hayes, Jacqueline Barba, and Natalie Krebs. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.